Penguin Random House Audio presents 1 Square Mile of Hell, The Battle for Tarawa, by John Wukovitz. Read for you by Gregory Jones. Preface. I have long been familiar with the story of Tarawa. One of the first pieces I wrote, a magazine article more than 20 years ago, dealt with the subject, and the battle has remained with me ever since. The frightening walk toward shore, so reminiscent of what Steven Spielberg later handed theater audiences in the opening moments of Saving Private Ryan, captivated me. And the appalling slaughter that unfolded over the 3 days of fighting made me appreciate what those young Marines endured to wrest a piece of sand from the enemy. In the early 1990s, I had the pleasure of interviewing one of the main participants, Time magazine correspondent Robert Sherrod. His brilliant reportage of the battle, printed in the pages of the Newsweekly, followed by his moving 1944 book, Tarawa, first conveyed the Pacific War's terrible reality to the American people. Over 3 interviews, he regaled me with tales of his wartime experiences, in which Tarawa played such a prominent part. His insight and comments helped me better understand what unfolded that November in 1943. Research took me to Quantico, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., where I scoured the official Marine records and the personal papers of participants. I traveled to Laguna Beach, California, Alexandria, Virginia, and San Antonio, Texas, to interview survivors and family members. At each location, I gathered material that clarified different features of the fighting and met individuals whose courage of more than 60 years ago was matched by the quiet emotions they retain today. This story exists because of them. Rather than simply fashion a minute-by-minute account of the fighting that raged at Tarawa, I chose to tell the story through the experiences of a handful of participants. Collectively, these individuals typify what the Marine at Tarawa faced, as well as what families and loved ones back home endured. By implication, they also represent the experiences and sacrifices made by the military throughout the Pacific and by their families and friends in the United States. I included a variety of ranks as well as men with differing responsibilities so that I could better convey the drama of Tarawa, including 2 corporals who had been boyhood friends, 3 brothers, a colonel, a corpsman, a combat photographer, and a Medal of Honor winner. These men and their families allowed me to present each aspect of the fighting. The Marine riflemen who carried the brunt of the fighting. The correspondents who covered the fighting. The corpsmen who patched the wounded. The families who anxiously awaited word of their loved ones. And to do so in a more personal fashion than can be done strictly by focusing on official reports. I would like to thank many people. My agent, Jim Hornfisher, who knows what it takes to write a book, nurtured the project from start to finish. The valuable comments made by my editor at New American Library, Mark Chait, improved the manuscript. While Jeffrey Ward again added his marvelous artistic touch to the maps that adorn the book. Barry Zerbe at the National Archives, Fred Allison, Charles Melson, and Gordon H. Heim at the Marine Corps Historical Center, Gail Monroe at the Navy Art Collection, and Dr. James Ginther, and the staff at the marvelous Marine Corps Research Center in Quantico, Virginia, lent valuable assistance whenever needed. Colonel C.W. Van Horn, USMC, retired, the executive secretary of the 2nd Marine Division Association, sent me a list of Tarawa veterans and put me in touch with men who contributed fascinating material to the book. Agent Irene Webb's continued belief in my stories makes me work more assiduously to bring the contributions of World War II veterans to current generations. This book would not be whatever it is without the assistance of the many men and women I interviewed. Veterans imparted their reminiscences, families opened homes, and loved ones shared letters from long ago. A complete list of the people I talked with is found in the bibliography, but I must thank a few for the enormous contributions they made. The Montague family in Bandera, Texas, and the Seng family in San Antonio spent hours with me around the kitchen table or on the telephone, confiding stories and handing over photographs or priceless letters written in 1942 and 1943. Stanley Bowen and his wife Marge welcomed me to Laguna Beach, where they provided a fascinating account of their time in World War II. I never truly grasped how a Marine operated in battle until Robert Mulbach explained his method of attacking Japanese pillboxes at Tarawa. James Wendell Crane clarified the hectic conditions at Red Beach 1, and James and Dick Meadows added powerful material about their time in the battle. Norman Hatch and William Kelleher proved that battlefield heroes often accomplish their tasks without weapons, while Robert Sherrod movingly explained the wade ashore and the aftermath during his extensive interviews. I want to mention two men whose valued advice helped me become a writer. Both are now deceased, but their memories and words will influence me until I am gone. My college professor and advisor at the University of Notre Dame, Dr. Bernard Norling, and historian Thomas Buell, who wrote powerful biographies of Admirals Ernest J. King and Raymond A. Spruance, commented on earlier manuscripts and lent encouragement at every step along the way. I cannot thank them enough, and my only hope is that I contribute to history even a portion of what these two gentlemen gave. My family, as always, made the writing process easier. My brother Tom, a naval aviator during the Vietnam War, encouraged me with his comments on my writing. My daughters, Amy, Julie, and Karen, are spread to the far corners of the nation, but their supportive remarks and their love constantly return home to Trenton. My three grandchildren, Matthew, Megan Grace, and Emma, remind me of my duty to convey to one generation the heroics and nobility of a prior generation. Terry Fatel, my fiancée, supported me not only with her love, but also by carefully reading the manuscript and offering helpful suggestions. Three people who are no longer with me continue to help through the memories that linger and with the words that remain. My dad, Tom, my mom, Grace, and my younger brother, Fred. John F. Wukovitz, Trenton, Michigan, December 1, 2005. Chapter 1. Where's Pearl Harbor? The most haunting memory. Fear, the numbing, paralyzing kind, demolished all thoughts of home for PFC Eugene Seng and PFC Charles Montague, two San Antonio, Texas school buddies. As they waded directly into the slaughter inflicted by Japanese mortar shells and bullets in those early morning hours of November 20, 1943, 6,000 miles separated them from their homes in the Lone Star State, but it might as well have been 60,000. For the two boys, barely out of high school, found themselves trapped in an alien, violent world they could never have imagined. The staccato crack from machine guns and small arms fire added a menacing beat to the ear-shattering explosions produced by mortar and larger caliber shells. Shrapnel and bullets screeched by, blocking out the boisterous commands from officers. The normally placid lagoon waters, which should have adorned a travel poster as the image of a luxuriant tropical paradise, instead swirled and churned from the hundreds of eruptions, large and small, kicked up by enemy projectiles. Seng and Montague, like most of the young Marines in the waters off the Pacific Atoll of Tarawa, swore that their racing heartbeats drowned out other noises, and they had to strain to hear each other shout. Even though they stood mere yards apart as they inched toward shore. On all sides, shells detonated in bloody geysers. Bullets churned the water, which looked as if it were agitated by a storm, and wounded Marines, some hideously disfigured and dying, shouted, even begged, for help. Montague and Seng had enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor, swept along by the patriotic fervor that engrossed the nation in the aftermath of that tragedy. But this was way beyond their imaginations. No one in boot camp had warned the pair, who should have instead been sitting through college lectures or courting women, that it would be like this. No battle-hardened
Sample complete. Ready to continue?